Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Bhunate Ramana Janare Ramunate Ramana Janare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Nanana Braja Jana Ranja Runga Yasoda Nanana Braja Jana Ranja Runga Unate Ravana Chanti. Yamunate Ramana Chaudhri. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad. Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Author Teta Satsi Shivad. His Divine Grace Savaya Chandanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anandakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadha Shri Vasili Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopala Sayam Kun Radha Gunda Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan ki jai, Tirunam ki jai, Navadeepam ki jai, Jagannath Swami ki jai, Yamunai ki jai, Srimati Lalasi Dev ki jai, Sambhita Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hanihan. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. So, first we'd like to welcome the devotees, Jai Radhika, Radha Vinod, Sathvi Radha, and Sahib. Okay. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasmin idam yatas jenam inedam ya idam swayam yo asmat parasmat cha paras tang prapaje Swayam Bhuvam Yasmin Idam Yatas Chedam Yene Dam Yahidam Swayam Yosmat Paras Machcha Paras Tang Prapadje Swayam Bhuvam Yasmin idam yatas chedam Yene dam yahidam swayam Yosmat paras machcha paras Kam prapadje swayam bhuvam Yasmin idam yatas chedam Yene idam yahidam swayam Yosmat paras machcha paras Tam prapadje swayam bhuvam
Yasmin Yam Yatas Chedam. Yasmin Yam Yatas Chedam.
Yasmin.
Yasmin.
The basic platform on which.
The basic.
Idam. The universe rests. Yataha. The ingredients from which. Cha. And. Idam. The cosmic manifestation is produced. Yena. This cosmic manifestation is created and maintained. Yaha, he who. Idam, this material world. Swayam, is himself. Yaha, he who. Asmat, from the effect, this material world. But Asmat, from the cause. Cha, and. But aha, transcendental or different. Tam, unto him. Prapadye, I surrender. Swayam vam, unto the supreme self-sufficient. The translation, the Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests, the ingredient by which everything has been produced, and the person who is created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, he is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. So you can repeat, the Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform in which everything rests, the ingredient by which everything has been produced, and the person who is created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, he is different from the cause and effect, the result. I surrender unto him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 4, the Lord says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but everything rests upon my energy, just as an earthen pot rests on the earth. It's a little bit different translation, but I'll explain why it's different. The place where an earthen pot rests is also earth. Then again, the earthen pot is manufactured by a potter, whose body is a product of earth. The potter's wheel with which the pot is made is an expansion of the earth, and the ingredients from which the pot are made are also earth. As confirmed in the Shruti mantra, yato va imam bhutani jayante yena yanti jivanti, ayatani, sorry, yatani jivanti, yat parayant yabisha vishanti. The original cause of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and after being annihilated, everything enters into him. Prakritim yanti mam ikam. Thus, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra or Lord Krishna, is the original cause of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna was known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. This is from the Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, text 1. The Lord is the cause for everything,
But there is no cause for him. Sarvam akal vidham brahma. Matsdani sarvabhutani na chaham teshvavastitaha. Although he is everything, his personality is different from the cosmic manifestation. So, yasmin nidam yatas chedam yenedam yahidam swayam yosmat parasmat chaparas tam prapadye swayam bhuvam. So, Gananda Shah. Janash Lakya Chakshur of Meditam Gena Tasmai Chi Gurave Namaha. So, this description given here is what we know more commonly as the Chincha Beda Beda Tattva philosophy, which is given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the culmination or the perfection of all the different philosophies of the four sampradayas. Yeah, we have four sampradayas, of course, the Madhva sampradaya, which is the Brahma sampradaya, the Kumara sampradaya, we have the Shiva sampradaya, and the Lakshmi sampradaya. So each of these four sampradayas have some explanation of the Lord's connection with the material energy and connection with the living entities. And of course, it's very interesting that in spite of all these explanations, which I'm going to talk about in a second, that Krishna in the Gita, which Prabhupada is quoting from in this particular purport, portrays the Achintya Beda Beda Tattva philosophy exactly in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, beginning with text 4, which I'm going to read some of the text here. And Prabhupada does quote two of the texts in his purport. So text 4, you know, I'll just quote it again. Mayatanam idam sarvam jagadavyaptamurtina matstani sarvabhutani naham teshvavastita. So by me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. This is the beginning of a Achintya Beda Beda Tattva philosophy. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them. And so, you know, we really need to unpack that. So, of course, let's talk about, actually the first part is pretty self-explanatory. By me and my unmanifested form. Unmanifested means not to us. And also, the universal form is not a form, a spiritual form of Krishna. There's two ways of understanding this unmanifested explanation here. Unmanifested means naham prakasha sarvasham yogamaya samavrita. Mudayam navajananti is described by the Gita that those who are in material consciousness, then I cover them with my eternal deluding potency, which Prabhupada translates as yogamaya in the Bhagavad Gita, but actually it's an expansion of yogamaya, which means and actually it says in the verse, yogamaya samavrita, but an expansion of yogamaya dealing with the material world is the mahamaya. So that's what it means by unmanifested. And also, it's not that the material energy is Krishna's form. Krishna has a spiritual form, such as Ananda Vigraha, as described also by Prabhupada in this nice verse that he quoted from the Brahma Samhita, Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachinanda Vigraha Nadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. So anyway, so that's the first point. So the entire universe is pervaded by Krishna's energy, which is not his personal form, which we can't see because of being covered by the Yogamaya potency. We can't see that it's connected to Krishna. Whereas Prabhupada made the statement sometimes that when we're sitting on a chair, we can think we're sitting on Krishna in terms of Krishna's energy, not Krishna's personal form. So, and also in the sixth chapter of the Gita, we find text 30, that one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. Which is actually one of the really important verses of the Gita. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashati dashaham na pranashami sacha me na pranashati. Wonderful verse in the Gita. I mean, it's something that I like to meditate on. That one who sees me everywhere. In other words, you see everything as belonging to Krishna. And Prabhupada also gave the example of one who sees the clothes or shoes of a particular individual or a car, then it reminds one of the individual also. Prabhupada used that example in terms of the body. You know, you see the body, see so-and-so is coming. And just like you see a car, so-and-so is coming. But that also works with Krishna's energy. That when we see something, like we see this table, this chair, we just see, well, it belongs to Krishna. And that's also brought out in the Isopanishad. Isha Vasha Midam Sarvam Yakim Cha Jagajam Jagat. That everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord and is meant to be used for Him, and we are each given a quota. So, anyway, there's many verses that verify this particular point. So, anyway, we see Krishna everywhere and in everything, and until we get to that point, we're not really, we're still lost to a certain extent. And when we get to that point, Krishna says, then the person is never lost. You know, napranashati. He's not lost. He's not destroyed. So this is actually Krishna consciousness. Not just to see Krishna in Vrindavan. Of course, Krishna is in Vrindavan. We can't see him either there. He's unmanifest. Aprakrita pastimes. But to actually see Krishna in everything. I mean, it takes a lot of insight to see Krishna in everything, isn't it? Even see Krishna in Maya. I mean, like if you see someone who is exhibiting demoniac qualities, we understand that's also coming. Like Krishna says, all states of being, they come from me, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So it's also coming from Krishna. I mean, of course, we don't worship those states of being. And of course, in the 11th chapter of the Gita, we have the, 10th chapter, we have the different manifestations of the Lord's opulence in this world. So whenever we see anything great or wonder or splendorous, we understand that it springs from a spark of the Lord's creation. As Krishna says in the end, towards the end of the 10th chapter, what is the use of all this detailed knowledge? For me, you know, for the single spark of my splendor, I pervade the entire creation. So, anyway. So, therefore, we have to see Krishna. By me and my unmanifested form is starting to grow. But all beings are in Krishna. Now, that's interesting, too. That can also refer to the time of the cosmic creation when all the beings enter into the Supreme Lord's body. But all beings are in Krishna's energies. Outside of that, we're not. In one sense, we're within Krishna. In another sense, we're not within Krishna. And then Krishna says, but I'm not in them. And that's quite an interesting expression because we know the Paramatma is in everyone's heart. However, this is also interesting because Krishna is referring to the material universe right now. However, the Paramatma is not materially situated. His presence is manifested in the heart. Another example Prabhupada gives is like we say that the moon or the sun is reflected in various bodies of water. So the Paramatma's presence, his Shakti, is manifest in the heart. But we cannot say that the Paramatma is materially situated, because the Paramatma never becomes materially situated, nor does the soul ever become materially situated. You know, that's why the soul is always spiritually situated, but the soul manifests his presence in the heart by the influence of Krishna's energy. And the soul thinks that he's in this material world. He thinks he's this body, and he's identifying with the body and the interactions that the body is undergoing. It's something like virtual reality, that the consciousness of the living entity, when he does this virtual reality, these virtual reality glasses, he actually is, you know, in one sense, his presence is manifest within the computer, within all the semiconductors, computer, but he's not actually there. You understand? It's quite interesting. Anyway, so and all beings are in me, but I am not in them. So he's in them in terms of manifesting his presence as the super soul, but he's not actually in the material body. That, you know, because that would make him material. Krishna never got in the Goloka. He never touches matter. He never touches matter. Actually, only an expansion of Krishna touches matter, and that's Lord Shiva. It says Lord Krishna, or Vishnu, the Mahavishnu, saw Aikshita, he glances at the material creation, and that glance is known as Shambhu. And Shambhu is the one who consorts with the regulative matrix, that is, of course, Maya. It's a funny, fancy name, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a fancy name of the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why people from India, they worship the Shiva Linga, which is the male progenitor symbol, and the Yoni, which is the female symbol, which manifests, which is indicates Maya or Durga, and then we're placed within the material universe because Shiva is consorting with Durga. Anyway, so it's a little complicated. So anyway, but Krishna never touches the material energy. The material energy comes from him. I mean, you got the pradana manifest from him in terms of when he breathes out, those are the little universes that come out. But then his glance at them activates them. It's like a chemical combination where you have one inert chemical, another chemical goes to that inert chemical and, you know, just activates it somehow or other, like two chemicals together, you know, you mix them together, like, well, let's take hydrogen and oxygen, you mix them together and you can get an explosion. Of course, you also get water. So that's what happens. So, anyway, so Krishna is explaining, this is all part of the Achincha Beta Beta Tattva philosophy. The next one, next verse, text 5, is also quite indicative in this, explanatory in this particular context. So text 5 is Nachamat Stani Bhutani Pasha Me Yugam Aishwaram Bhuta Brin Nacha Bhuta Sto Amatma Bhuta Bhavanaha. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. And previously he said, everything is in me. And now he says, everything that is created does not rest in me. So, you know, it appears to be a contradiction. But as we say that, as we explain, everything is within Krishna, this material world, in the sense that everything is Krishna's energy, and that way it's within him. And yet everything is created does not rest in me in its spiritual body, in its spiritual form. It rests within Krishna in the universal form, but the universal form is not the Lord's eternal spiritual form. It's a temporary manifested form. And actually there's many universal forms. The one that Krishna showed to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, or in the battle of Kurukshetra, not in the Bhagavad Gita, in the battle of Kurukshetra, it's described by Prabhupada and the Acharyas that it was the first time Krishna manifested that form. But there are other universal forms in the Bhagavatam, we find many descriptions. Behold my mystic opulence, which is Pasha Me Yogam Aishwaram, which is really interesting. Prabhupada here translates in a word-by-word translates inconceivable mystic power. How Krishna is able to do these things by his, for lack of a better word, it's mystic, but by his potencies, Purusha Shakti, Rupadaiva Shuyateshva Bhavaki Jnana Balab Kriyacha, by Krishna's multifarious potencies, and they're just acting just by Krishna's desire. So it's just, Krishna is the best of all mystics, or the master of all mystics, as Prabhupada described one time. He simply desires something. I mean, many of us would like to get mystic powers, and actually there's movies about people who have mystic powers by witchcraft or different things like that, and people are very attracted to this sort of thing. But Krishna is the ultimate mystic. And then Krishna says here, behold my mystic opulence, although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, and as we explained before, that's through his energy, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation. So Chintu Beta Beta Tattva. I'm one in everything, simultaneously, inconceivably. That's pretty amazing. And Krishna brings that out in the next verse, also to a certain extent. Pashame, just see my inconceivable potency. That's a chincha, same thing. Yogam Aishvaram, of course, technically, Yogam Aishvaram means the opulence of yoga, the opulence of Krishna's potency. Yoga means to connect, keeping everything together. Aishvarya means opulence. But Prabhupada here translates it in a very wonderful way, inconceivable, which is the same thing as achincha. Achincha, Veda, Veda, Tattva. So what I'm pointing out here is this whole philosophy of Lord Chaitanya is directly manifest here in these three verses, the next verse too. He said, although I'm the maintainer of all living entities, although I'm everywhere, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. Now, Krishna here is now referring to his spiritual body, the Lord Vishnu, who is the source of creation, the source of the material elements, and the source of the living entities and the potency that's put into the material elements to activate them. Okay. And this, we'll just read one more verse in the Bhagavad Gita to sum it up. And the other verses actually illustrate this later on, but the Chincha Veda Veda Tattva was specifically pointed out in these three verses. So text 6 is Yatha Kasha Yatita Nicham. Vayu Sarvatra Gomahan Tata Sarvani Bhutani Matstani Chupadarya. Understand, this is the mighty wind blowing everywhere, rest always in the sky. All created beings rest in me. And that's also indicating that you can't see the wind. The wind, actually, the pure air is colorless, but everything rests within him. So everything rests within Krishna's energies. Anyway, so that's a Chincha Veda Veda Tattva. But however, the different acharyas have different takes on that. I mean, for example, you have in our sampradaya, you have which is the Brahma sampradaya, you have Sripad Madhvacharya, who is teaching what's called Shuddha Dvaita, which means purified duality. And you always see a picture of Sripad Madhvacharya with, you know, not exactly like that, but two fingers like indicating, not the picture he's singing, indicating like practically radical dualism. You know, radical dualism. And his philosophy is not quite a Chincha Veda Veda Tattva. Ramanujacharya's philosophy is closer to a Chincha Veda Veda Tattva. His philosophy is more like really radical dualism. There's the Lord and then us. And that's not completely in line with what Bhagavad Gita tells us, that, you know, Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that we are part and parcel of Krishna. We're the same nature as Krishna. We're eternally connected with Krishna. It is in line with that, but it's a slightly different interpretation that Prabhupada gave us than Chaitanya gave us, that we are essentially of the same nature as Krishna. And Krishna is manifest in this material world. He's conscious of this material world. He knows everything, past, present, and future, as he says in the Gita. So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya refined this philosophy in terms of a Chincha Veda Veda Tattva. In fact, Madhvacharya has some other, opinions that were a little bit different than what Lord Chaitanya taught. For example, Madhvacharya considered the demigods to be the best devotees of the Supreme Personality of God, and also considered, did not want to touch upon the Brahma Vimohana Leela, because Lord Brahma is our original preceptor, and he thought the Brahma Vimohana Leela, where Lord Brahma gets bewildered and steals the coward boys and calves, this would cause criticism to our original preceptor in the Sampradaya. However, I mean, there's a way that we can explain it without causing criticism to Lord Brahma, that it's a pastime. It's a pastime, but he didn't. Anyways, we have some differences. And then, of course, you have Vishnu Swami and the Shiva Sampradaya presented Shuddha Dvaita, which is purified, Shuddha Advaita, sorry, which is purified monism. Understanding how everything is the same, but there's some difference. You know, they're hinting at Chincha Veda Veda Tattva. Ramanujacharya's Vishishta Dvaita, which is specific monism is, I'm not going to get into the details of it, is actually closer to Achintya Veda Veditattva than Madhvacharya's presentation is. And then finally you have Nimbarka presented Dvaita, monism and dualism together, which is also pretty close. You know, that's what we say. Everything is one and different simultaneously, inconceivably. So anyway, so this is what has been presented here by Gajendra in this nice verse. And finally he says, after he explains the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, nonetheless, he says, the person who is created and the only cause of this cosmic manifestation, nonetheless, he is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient. That's, of course, Swarat, independent, and Aptakama. Both of those words describe self-sufficiency. Swarat means he's completely, doesn't need anyone else, is completely independent, and Aptakama means he gets whatever he desires. These are the two aspects of self-sufficiency. And so realizing that Krishna is everything and everywhere, then we have no recourse but to surrender to him. And of course, surrender means, as I've explained in a previous class, that one surrenders one's mind, body, and words as a sannyasi. Actually, everyone's meant to be a sannyasi. And surrendering one's mind, body, and words means the six principles of surrender that are taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is to accept everything favorable. That means 24 hours a day, not just when you're in the temple, not just when you're doing your bhakti. The whole life becomes bhakti. That's really what surrender is, 24 hours a day, 24/7, to accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable for devotional service, not for sense gratification. To understand the Lord is always maintaining one. And the Lord is, that's sometimes very hard when things happen. The Lord is always protecting one. Maintaining is a little easier. But the Lord is always protecting one because we always ask, you know, why did Krishna do this to me? Why did Krishna give me a body like this? You know, with this, you know, why am I getting old? Why do I have these pains? Why do I have this disease? I mean, just like the other day I went to the eye doctor, and the doctor says, you have cataracts. Yeah. Well, you know, 67 years old. It's part of the normal process of aging. And so I'm thinking, but Krishna, why? You know, I've engaged in your service my whole life, and now what are you doing to me? So, but to understand that's part of the Lord's protection and maintenance, that whatever the Lord puts us through is protecting us. I mean, ultimately, there's no protection in the physical world, in the material world, but there's protection from Maya. That's the real protection. Protection from Krishna's illusory energy. So when Krishna puts us through different, you know, challenges in life, it actually helps us or facilitates us if we take it the right way and surrendering to him. So those are the two surrendering principles. Understand the Lord is always protecting one, maintaining one. And then finally, to always be meek and humble and have no separate interest on the interest of the Lord. And meek and humble means a lot. It means acting in a way that you wouldn't ordinarily act or think because Krishna wants it. You know, normally we think of meek and humble being someone who just like really is soft-spoken. But we see like Prabhupada or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they were certainly not soft-spoken in most cases. In most cases, they were just like lions. Like Prabhupada said, we should be like, he was referring to the ladies who do Sankirtan, he said they should be like a lion on the chase and a lamb at home. It was an interesting statement. Because now sometimes they're like lions at home and lambs on the chase. But anyway, so in other words, devotees should be like lions in spreading Krishna out. That's the humility, even though it may not be according to their psychophysical nature. I remember when I joined the movement, of course, I was extremely shy. And it wasn't according to my psychophysical nature to preach that much or to be in the public eye or to do anything publicly. I mean, I used to hide in the doorways on Harinam when people drove by in the car. That's how embarrassed I was. Definitely wasn't bold. But, you know, so we're doing something that really goes even against our material nature. Of course, you've changed since then. Proud. So in order to satisfy Krishna, that's what meek and humble means. You know, it's just like, you know, Krishna's desire is important, not my desire. You know, I have all these plans, all these desires, all these propensities and everything like that. And then Krishna, so that's meek and humble. And then to have no separate interests other than the interest of the Lord. So this is surrender, and this is what Gajendra is hinting at. I surrender to him. Of course, Gajendra is hinting at that because he's being threatened. Before that, he wasn't doing that. Before that, he was just enjoying with his wife and kids, which happened to be other elephants. So, you know, Krishna just puts us in this situation, like twist our arm behind our back so we can surrender if we need it. Of course, it's better to do it before Krishna twists our arm behind. Like Prabhupada said, that there's two ways of learning things. One is by hearing, and the other one is by doing. And Prabhupada said hearing is actually a superior way of doing things, or of surrender, or becoming Krishna conscious. So here Gajendra is taking at least the second path, doing. You know, he had to be put in a situation where Krishna's just enabling him, forcing, I wouldn't say forcing him, because nothing is forced, but facilitating his surrender. So let us take this hint. Krishna's everything. He's everywhere. He's in the spiritual world. His energy is everywhere. Therefore, it's time for us to just realize that and act accordingly before Krishna puts us in a lake with a crocodile approach us, or in a different circumstance. So any questions or comments about these things? We got about a minute and a half. Yes. Is what? No. Sadashiva is a Vishnu expansion of Krishna in the spiritual world. Sada means eternal. So that was described. I asked that question of Gopi Pranadana Prabhu when he was on the planet. He's an expert in Sanskrit and analyzing all of these things. He says he's the source. He's a Vishnu expansion. He's the source of the Lord Shiva in this world. So that's why Advaita Acharya is considered Sadashiva. He's also considered, so he's considered Mahavishnu too. So he's Vishnu Tattva. Does that explain it? Ruja, the Ruja expansions appear in the Bhagavatam from Lord Brahma when Lord Brahma got upset at his sons, the Kumaras, four Kumaras, when they wouldn't get married. There were 11 Rudras, and they got married to 11 Rudranis to calm them down so they wouldn't destroy the universe prematurely. Anyway, so that's all explained in the Bhagavatam. Okay, on that happy note, nice, we have a lot of people watching. Narayani, Rishikesh, Lalita, Vaishnava, Gopal, Kishori, Kunal Mani, so many nice people.